What's up, guys? This is Scott from the Iron Legion. This is episode 209 of Strong the Iron Will Way, official podcast of the Iron Legion Strength Company. If you can't tell already, I'm just coming off of a cold, so I apologize for the tone today. But it's fitting for my topic. So I feel like I've been sick more than I've been healthy the last couple months. It's winter in Maine right now, and that's kind of part of the deal. But I'm inspired to talk about today's topic by my good friend Forrest Walden. Forrest is one of the most successful guys that I know. I find him particularly inspiring to me because he is in the same industry, has a very similar background and path to myself, although Forrest is, in my opinion, much farther along on the path and farther ahead of me. I still can see some similarities in how he got to where he is now and kind of how I did as well. But like I said, he's always been in front of me, for lack of a better word, so it's inspiring to me to kind of watch him and follow him. Forrest is the founder and CEO of Iron Tribe, a pretty awesome fitness franchise. And in my opinion, Forrest has always been successful. So everything I've ever seen has just been him killing it in one way or another. And I've known him throughout several businesses. We were in our previous businesses together, and I saw his success. And Forrest recently started posting regularly on Instagram, and his goal has been to be brutally raw and truthful, because in his own words, he would say that in the past, he's only posted kind of his highlights and his successes, but he'd shy away from his losses or things where he struggled. And I thought this was really, first of all, brave and awesome, and also very eye-opening to me, because again, for someone who has only seen his successes, to see some of his struggles and even maybe failures was eye-opening, and in fact was comforting to me in a way, to feel like, oh my God, okay, so he struggles also. He's had trouble too. So I thought today what I would spend some time is talking about the dark days that I've seen in my journey, because I think a lot of times, you know, I've told the evolution story of the Iron Legion, and kind of how it came to be from my beginnings. And I'm sure that I mentioned some of the challenges, but probably not as much as I should have. I probably gave you the highlight reel. I think it was Steve Jobs, but I'm not quite sure. But somebody said, you know, it's easy to connect the dots looking backwards. And I thought this was interesting. And what he meant was that when you find someone that's successful, and then you go back and trace back the steps that led them there, it makes perfect sense. Like, oh man, this happened, and then that was really bad, but it led to this really good result. And then this really bad thing happened, but it led to this good result. So when it's all said and done, it's like, yeah, that bad thing happened for a good reason. But when it's happening, you don't connect the dots because the dots aren't there yet, right? So it doesn't feel good. It feels bad. So I just thought that kind of tied in really well to what Forrest was posting. And then, so what I wanted to talk about was, you know, some of the dark days, again, that I went through. And I think it's important to understand that when you see, you know, when I look at Forrest and I see success, or if someone looks to me and thinks that I'm successful, like, that's great, and I'm sure it's great for Forrest that I think he's so successful, but it's helpful to understand that that's not always how it was. And I feel like if someone's listening to this, it might be helpful to you to understand that's not always how it is for us either. So one of the things that also kind of led to this topic today was I was going through, I'm not a very organized person, and my goal is to become more organized. And so yesterday, was home sick, but started to feel okay enough to get something productive done. So I went through my file cabinet of files from 15 years ago and tried to organize and get through, and I actually did a decent job. But I stumbled across some journal notes from 2009. So it is 2019 right now, so 10 years ago. And this was from when we lived in Miami and we were operating our training studios that were franchised. And my daughter was a couple years old now. Now, 2009, if that rings a bell, you would realize that that was fairly soon after the big shit show, that financial shit show that 2007, 2008 were. So basically, anybody that had any money in anything lost it all around that time. So this was a very challenging time to have a personal training studio or any business that required people to have some degree of disposable income. Firing your personal trainer is probably one of the first things that happens when you find out that your stock portfolio just got chopped down to practically nothing. When you lose your job or your husband loses his job, having a fairly pricey personal trainer doesn't really stay in the budget. So our businesses were struggling, and I personally, my family, Kristen and I, were particularly struggling. So just to give you a little backstory, if you don't know it yet, and actually I'll wind this back a little more because I think it's helpful to hear the whole thing. Because just about any positive result that people have throughout their life, I think there is a big negative aspect of it too, and I think it's some degree of human nature that we overlook that in our hindsight and our memory of that accomplishment. So I joke about all the time about, if moms didn't forget what being pregnant was like, we would just stop reproducing, right? Because I think sometimes pregnancies are so hard and so difficult, and even the first couple years of having a baby are so, so difficult, no sleep and everything that goes with it, that why would anybody in their right mind ever do that again? But we do, because we forget all that challenge and we just remember the kind of the good parts of the baby's life and of the pregnancy and so forth. So I think a lot of times quick rewind, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place today, but going back to, I got out of college with a college degree in landscape architecture, okay? I did not want to pursue that. I was not good at that. It was something that I got just because halfway through college, I realized I needed to pick a major and I didn't really like anything. I really got into weight training, so I graduated from college and just took a job at a local gym, making like $8 an hour working the front desk just to have something to do and a place to train. So this alone sounds really cool now, again, when you connect the dots and see what I'm doing now. But at the time it wasn't great. It was extremely stressful, feeling like I let down my parents and everything they spent to go to college to live with them for the next, 6, 7, 8 years and, work at a gym making $8 an hour. So that wasn't fun. Now there was not a ton of anxiety that I remember coming with that, but it was definitely not, optimal. Not knowing what I was going to do. And being someone that likes to have a path and an idea and set some goals, that wasn't great. Competing as a bodybuilder was awesome. Won some stuff and moved along quite a bit in that sport. But also even something like that comes with, I remember I worked a kind of a warehouse 8-to-5 job during some of the college years when I was competing. And I can remember specifically literally crouching down on the floor in the bathroom at like 10 a.m. I had a break from 10 to 10:15. I can remember sitting on the floor in the bathroom, leaning against the wall, closing my eyes, wondering how I was going to make it to lunchtime. And this was about 30 days out from my competition. So that's how miserable I was for an entire month, every single day, struggling to get through the day. When the competition time came, I believe that year I won, because I remember it was in direct proportion to the suffering, and that year I suffered the most and I won the most. So the memory of winning outshines the misery of preparing for it, but that was brutal and terrible, and many times did I question what I was doing and why. So fast forward to now, I'm training and making a little bit of money as a trainer, but really nothing, still living at home. Got married and a year later got divorced and went through a very difficult year or 2 years of dealing with that. having, you know, purchased a condo with my wife and then getting divorced and having to split up the condo and sell the place that I live. And at the same time, I'm getting a job as a trainer in New York City. So now I'm commuting an hour and a half back and forth from my condo, which I'm now in by myself. And again, going through all of the emotional ups and downs, mostly downs, that come with getting divorced and also starting a new job. You know, for any of you guys that have been through a divorce, I mean, you go through this weird thing with your friends where half your friends are still friends with your ex, half of them are not, so you kind of lose half your friends. I moved and got a new job, so I'm really have none of my old friends. I'm making new friends. I'm struggling at this new job because it's hard to get new clients. So I spent 6 months, literally 6 months, sitting in the little cafe across the street almost every day, writing down in my journal reasons why I should stay there, because all I wanted to do was quit and go back to my comfortable, safe job in New Jersey, because this was way out of my comfort zone. I had to do a lot of walking the floor to get clients. I never liked that. It was really competitive. There was 20 trainers in there, and yeah, I was a good trainer, but I was just the new guy, and I wasn't established yet. I was commuting an hour and a half each way. So I was miserable most of that time. Again, I'm newly divorced, selling my condo and getting a new apartment where I don't know anybody. I can't afford a good apartment, so it's a shitty apartment in a shitty area of town. So that was awful, really bad, and a lot of self-doubt, a lot of questioning what I was doing. But I can remember, again, I found journals from there too, just really listening to tons of self-help. I think that's where I found a lot of Tony Robbins books helpful, and journaling and writing stuff down and positive, you know, affirmations, I guess you would call them, but just really, really coming up with how am I going to make it work? What am I going to do? An action plan. So I didn't just sit around and wallow in my misery, but it is important to know that I was pretty miserable. You know, again, that turned around and got going and became successful there. Got to the point where I was making great money there, had a really good life there, met my wife Kristen there, so everything turned around great. We moved to Florida, literally took, you know, all the money we had and invested it in these personal training studios in Florida with my partner. And again, things are going good. We're pregnant at the time, so again, very risky, bold move, which, you know, sounds super cool now in hindsight. But maybe it wasn't the smartest thing to do, because then the stock market crashes. So now we have two personal training studios that are really designed only for personal training, which is definitely a luxury business. We have now like a two-year-old baby, and I'm barely making any money. And my notes were about me not being able to sleep. I was drinking wine almost every night just to fall asleep because I had so much anxiety that I couldn't fall asleep. I was waking up at 3 a.m. from the anxiety and also from the sugar crash that happens when you use wine to fall asleep. As you know, alcohol is a depressant, so not great when you are depressed to be using wine to fall asleep. So I'd wake up at 3 a.m. with low blood sugar and anxiety and basically lay in bed just trying to come up with reasons that I should get out of bed and what I was going to do, because I was so stressed and felt handcuffed in my financial situation, because here we had these businesses with no way to really make any more money. We're losing clients, and this is all I got. I mean, I am stuck with them. And you know, Kristen has a two-year-old baby that she, and Kristen, by the way, was working as much as she possibly could, but again, we had just moved and she had left her job behind. So it was awful. And this, honestly, I look back, it went on for well over a year. I have notes upon notes of just struggling to make it through the day, trying to find nutritional solutions to why I had an upset stomach every day for 18 months. I lost a bunch of weight. If you see pictures from then, I was about 175 pounds. That's about 25 to 35 pounds lighter than I am now. I was not working out very much because I felt like I didn't have the time, because I had to focus every waking moment on making the gyms and the training studios successful. My notes changed when I finally, and I remember today, Kristen said, you have to start working out. It's the only thing that's going to make this better. So I joined a gym called LA Fitness around the corner, and I started to leave the studio and force myself to work out. And that was the beginning of the turnaround. Just getting out of that environment and having some time to focus on myself made a huge difference. I did a ton of research on how to settle my nervous system and my anxiety using food, because I was using over-the-counter sleep meds. I went to the doctor and was prescribed an antidepressant, and I remember coming home, sitting down. She prescribed me Xanax to sleep and also an antidepressant. I remember reading the bottle and the label of the antidepressant. I thought, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm not fucking doing this. This is it. So I definitely used the Xanax a little bit to fall asleep, and then I realized this is not helping. All this is doing is masking what I'm upset about. When I would wake up and it would wear off, it would be worse, right? So threw that out. Never took the antidepressant because I didn't want to deal with the side effects and the possibility of feeling even worse. Was using over-the-counter sleep medications to sleep, stopped using those, and forced myself to meditate, journal, eat differently, learn about what vitamins and minerals were out of whack that was creating this anxiety. Now, again, the anxiety was coming from something real, but all these other factors played into it. I wasn't exercising, I wasn't eating right, I was drinking alcohol, like all this shit. So I started to clean things up. I made action plans every single day. As I was laying there at 3 a.m, I would wake up, and instead of laying there with anxiety, I would just get up, go to the living room, and start writing down what I was going to do to get more clients, to turn things around with the business. Stuck to my workouts. Kristen found a client that paid her a good amount of money, so we got some more money into the family. We did some things with the business, so things started to turn around. But guys, there was seriously at least a year and a half where I was miserable and literally had to wind myself up every day just to get through the day. I had cysts on my eyelids that no one could explain, and in hindsight, it had to be from stress or from the over-the-counter sleep meds, but I could not explain. I had these cysts in my eyelids that wouldn't go away, so I had special eye drops for these. I mean, it was unbelievable. I wrote in my notes that my skin was crawling every day with anxiety. I could just feel it coming through my pores. My chemistry was so off. And that, I forget all that shit. Like, I literally forgot about that until yesterday when I read this paperwork. That's real, right? So if you look back, it's like, oh yeah, it was great. You know, we sold the gyms in Miami, moved up here, opened this, it grew to this. But like, oh yeah, forgot there was a year and a half there where I threw up every morning and didn't sleep. There was a similar period of time here before we opened up what was Iron Will Strength Studio at the time, where I knew I had to get out of my other job. I didn't know what I was going to do yet. I didn't have any money. No one would lend me any money. A gym that I thought I was going to buy fell through, and I laid awake nights after night going through my phone looking up all these apps that would lend you money, because I had a poor credit score and not any money at all to even borrow, to borrow. I didn't know what I was going to do, and I was totally stressed out about how am I going to provide for my family and our new home. And of course, now we have two kids, and it was a mess, and it was super duper challenging, again, to my own determination to get things done, questioning my every decision I had ever made up to that point, all kinds of stuff. And then this will continue to happen, and I'm anticipating more of this at some point in time, right? So my point today is just to understand that there will be dark days and there will be ups and downs. So if you happen to be going through it right now, I want you to understand that I've been there, and probably everybody has been there, particularly people that you see, and you might think they don't go through that stuff. You know, the coaches and I talk, literally it seems like out of the 8 of us, every week somebody is going through a difficult time, and the other people step up and help out. So if you're going through a hard time, understand that that's kind of pretty normal, I think, in this thing we call life. And I would encourage you to reach out to anybody. You can always hit me up and just talk to somebody about it, because the support of other people is hugely helpful. Again, most people have been through something similar, even though you might not be aware of it, and know that, you know, some of these expressions are corny, but they say it's always darkest just before the dawn, and I think that's true. I've seen so many people come out of the depths of despair and come out the other side, but that's hard to see when you're through it, right? When you're in that dark tunnel, you don't know that the opening is just around the corner, but trust me that it's there somewhere, and you just got to keep grinding, and you got to just put one foot in front of the other, but take conscious steps to make things better. Like, if you're in that place, you know, don't do what I did, which is like mask it with alcohol and sleep with sleeping pills. Like, you need to really face it head on and take action. Action is the only thing that helped me. Making, literally writing down plans of what I was going to do to change it. Writing down, you know, whoever you believe in, God, Mother Nature, the universe, you know, talking to that entity, writing down affirmations that you're going to get out of this, and you're going to do this, and this is how you're going to do it, and this is what you're going to do, and taking action steps, even if that's forcing yourself to eat a good breakfast, even if that's forcing yourself to move around. I mean, I tell you, I wasn't working out, and I just forced myself to start getting some blood flow, even like walking on the treadmill and just getting some endorphins. And obviously my ultimate goal was to get back to lifting weights, but that sounds easy when you're in it. But when you're not in it, the last thing I felt like doing was picking up heavy weights. So I started just by moving around and getting some blood flow and getting my cardio on. Then those endorphins led to, okay, I'll do some light body weight stuff. And then again, I worked myself back into weights. And when I got fully into weights, I was really, really feeling better. So anyway, I hope that's helpful. And again, if you are going through a tough time and you need someone to talk to, you can always hit me up. You can Facebook message me. You can scott@ironwillstrength.com, email me, or any other way you can possibly think of getting in touch with me. But don't go through it alone. Peace, guys.